We've been taking these dynamic classes called Our New Life in Jesus because you can never hear too much of God's Word, or especially the practical application of God's Word in your lives. Two Sundays ago, Bob was saying how man's Word isn't always reliable, and that is very true. We've all experienced that. Unlike God's Word that never what? Changes. God's Word never changes. If man's Word were a check, then soon enough it would bounce. But, not God's Word, it never comes back what? Void, capital V. But as He, God, pleases. And yesterday, we talked about, if you remember, 2 Peter 1:20. Who would like to read 2 Peter 1:20 for us real quick? Anybody? 2 Peter 1:20. I'll do it. Okay. It says, oh, Bob, give me the microphone, please. Let me get you a mic real quick, Bob.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private or one's own interpretation.
That's right. No matter how hard you think you could muster up something and say, that's what God says, if it ain't from His Word, it ain't from God. So, that's exactly why God put that in His Word. It's sort of like the disclaimer, or whatever you want to call it, in the bottom of His Word. You can trust God's Word. You can trust God's Word to be the truth and a love letter to you and I. Which caused me to think about a situation that happened years ago, hearing that verse yesterday and times before that. Years ago, in a church back in Oklahoma, as a matter of fact, I was looking for a church to go to on a Sunday. I wanted a fellowship. And I just looked high and low. And sure enough, in the countryside, I found a little white church with a steeple on top. So I said, okay, let me check this church out. So I went to the sermon that Sunday. And after the sermon, the preacher asked some of those of us who were sitting in the front row, including myself, what do you think the message was saying? And right away, 2 Peter 1:20 popped in my head. And finally, he got around to me and asked me, you, sir, what do you think that verse or that scripture was saying? And I remembered 2 Peter 1:20. And I mentioned it to him, and he just shrugged his shoulders. No big deal, right? But after the service, people came up to me and were saying, wow, you were pretty bold with the preacher. And I said to them, you know, that's what God, Almighty God says in His Word, period. 2 Peter 1:20. So it was the last time I went to that church, but they were flying on a wing and a dime, just trying to make people feel good pretty much. But they didn't grasp the integrity of God's Word or the accuracy of it to the point where they asked people, what do you think that means? You know, well, first of all, you're the preacher. You should know this stuff. So that's when I kindly said to him, you know, 2 Peter 1:20 says of no private interpretation. So it doesn't matter what I think it says or what the other folks do. It's what God says. And so tonight's sharing, after taking these first seminar, the first class that we've been taking, and there's more to come, I simply title it, What Now? What Now? After you get all the information we've been learning, and there's quite a bit of it that we still know in our hearts, but you receive this information, you retain it, and you release it, but you want to know what's next, what now? Hence, I think a good way to explain or summarize all this is in our theme verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love who?
God.
Love who?
God.
Thank you. Thank you. To them who are called according to his purpose. So God has actually called you. He's called you. At one point in your life, you were witness to. Someone gave you God's word or led you and put you under their wings to know God and his word. And then you found out that you have a purpose in life. What is that purpose? Some of us know, but the purpose can change from day to day. And it behooves you to ask the Father, what would you have me do for you today? Today. So I think that verse is pretty neat. It will be about what we can expect after starting the class, our new life in Christ. Okay? So I thought we'd go to God's word and see what it is that we can expect when it comes to the things of God. God has expectations, believe it or not, of you and I, our lives. He's not asking you to climb Mount Everest or recite the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but at least take a look at it, study it, put it on in your hearts, be workmen of the word, who needeth not be ashamed. How about a life that's more than abundant? You want that? I do. Have you received that? Yes, I think you have. I think you have. As it says in Ephesians 3:20 and 21, let's go there real quick. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. A lot of this stuff you've seen before, but it's good to see it again. But again, it's after you hear what now. It says now, speaking of what now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. I think you mentioned yesterday, Jeannie, if it just stopped at now, he's able to do exceeding. If you stop right there, he's exceeded something, maybe what you're thinking. But it doesn't. It says abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that worketh where? In us. Do not sell yourself short, my brothers and sisters. You've got power residing in you. You need to turn the key and fire it up. You know? You won't skip a beat doing that. God tells us in his word. Verse 21 goes on to say, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. That grabs us and those who are coming tomorrow. World without end, amen. Forever and ever. I sometimes have to take that checkup from the neck up and really grasp what I'm reading. It's not something you just want to read. It's, okay, I read it. But put it on in your heart, and I trust that your heart is a believing heart, because that's what makes you get over the edge. The one thing Almighty God wanted, again, was a family to love and to worship him, the one true God. How? In spirit and truth. We have Holy Spirit within us. We know his truth. We're true to him, and that's what he wants. It's really not that complicated. Even though we have not finished the class, we can still see some of the results of when we enjoy the journey through the scriptures, and not just about them, but with believing hearts. You can read the Bible and just say, oh, I know what that says, I read it before. Or you can read the Bible and sink your teeth into it. Say, I believe that. And if you believe it, you're going to see God do some pretty fantastic things in your lives if he hasn't already. So let's go to some of these fantastic truths. The first place I would like to read is what God thinks about you and I. Okay? And his family, here in San Diego and on the other side of this world. Please go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29:11. Remember, these are God's words. So when you read them, take the full impact of what he's saying. It's not some poet writing some nice little sound good verses or what have you, but it's God. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God actually thinks about me. It says it right there. And he knows those thoughts that he thinks toward you. What does it say? Saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. That's what he wants. And not evil. to give you an expected end. That we have a future and a hope. Okay? Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, God, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I will listen. Plain and simple. God will listen when you pray. When you pray, it's not a shallow or a hollow thing. Expect God to give you an answer, because he just said he listens. And that's a wow verse. That's a wow verse. And after that verse of scripture, let's read again. What are the plans that he has for you and I? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 10 and 18. Ephesians 2. And we're going to look at verse 10 first. For we are his workmanship. We're God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath ordained before, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's given us plans for our lives. We have to fulfill those by walking out on them. Now go down to verse 18, please. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for you and I. He's made it so available for us to have that more than abundant life. God has given each person, our brother and sisters in Christ, a purpose in life. We have a purpose in life. Yes, you may have a 9-to-5 job. You've got a purpose there. And I trust you're fulfilling it, you know. And yeah, you get paid for it. But Jesus Christ has already taken care of all that. He's paid. He's endured, like I like to say, the price for you and I. So all we need to do is just believe and love the Father and praise him. Praise him. And when you're done doing that, praise him. Praise him some more. Our new life in Christ, of course, is what we are all wanting to live and to do. Because it is a new life. We just heard the children's song. The old stuff is gone. It's gone. Please go to Romans 8:28. We've got it on the screen, but we're going to read another verse along with that one. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And what is that image? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We are created in God's image, Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ passed that on to us. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There's nothing that God left out with his perfect plans for our life, to the point where it cost him dearly. It cost him dearly. If that were left up to man, we'd still be stuck in the mud. I ain't going to let my son do that. I don't even know you. Well, all those who want to be a part of this, God knew. And he knows them, and he went through with his plan. He will show you and I which way to go. God will actually show you which way to go. Because there's times in life when you've got a decision to make, and you're kind of befuddled. You're saying, and I've done this. You're saying, what do I do? Which way? Well, stop. Father, I need your help. I need some clarity with what I'm about to partake in, or with what I'm about to do. Whatever that may be, I need clarity. Even if you're deciding between doing the right and the wrong. Sometimes that wrong, the temptation the adversary throws at you, kind of like is really pulling you. And God says, no, just avoid him. He is out of your life. That's been taken care of. So you're going to do the right thing. See? And when you do that, afterwards you're going to take a big sigh and say, whew, I'm glad I decided and God helped me to do that. Like I said, we trust in God's guidance. He will show you and I which way to go. For this, can we all please go to Proverbs chapter 3? We're going to look at 5 and 6. I'll read the NLT, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Very important word to start off. Trust in the Lord. With half of your heart, do not... I'm sorry. Trust in the Lord with 3/4 of your heart. And do, trust in the Lord with 99% of your heart.
And,
Antonio, how much of our heart do we trust in the Lord? Thank you. Thank you. With all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. And we saw that yesterday. Don't depend on your own understanding because you'll be in the soup again. Okay? Verse 6. Seek His will in some of what you do. No. All of what you do. You want God involved in every part of your life, in every day of your life. And that's a successful formula to follow. And He will show you which path to take. You want to go down that road that's well lit, not the dark alley. But God sometimes will step in and show us what that is. So God knows which path for us to take. We have to. We just need to ask Him. If we don't lean on our understanding, then that means going to God's Word and leaning on His, right? Leaning on His, which is also available through revelation. Yes, we open the Word and study it and see what God wants us to do and how to rise up. But sometimes He can just talk from His Spirit to yours and give you some light, give you some understanding, leaning on His. So there's two ways right there. Or a brother and sister can minister to you from something that God puts on their heart concerning a situation in your life. See? But again, it's not on our understanding. If we're needing a lift in our daily lives, forget all the energy drinks, okay? Forget all the energy drinks. There's always been an uplifter, and He's called the Creator. That's your energy drink right there, okay? The Creator. And to put that into perspective, this is the Creator who, when you look up at night and see all those stars, He made all those. And there's so many more that you can't even see. So God's going to say, well, I'm just going to make some window dressing because you can't see beyond that. No. All of a sudden, we got a Hubble telescope that's showing us stuff that we never imagined was out there, galaxies and planets and stars. God still made every one of them, and He named each one of them. And this is so that we can look up and think of Him and just be super blessed. And this very same God, aside from that, which was a big deal, created the very earth that we live on today. Again, He could have made it with a gray sky, brown dirt, no grass, water out there. But no, He gave us the animal kingdom. He gave us the plants and the trees. A lot of them we need to live on because that's where we get our food. That's a big part of it. But I don't know how many times I'm driving to work in the morning and the sunset is right up in front of me because I'm going 52 east and it's just jaw-dropping beautiful. And what does that cause me to react? I could just say, oh, that looks neat. And I say, thank you, Lord, for blessing my day. Right off the bat with this sunrise, it's just absolutely stunning. And Shati knows because I show her pictures. I pull off to the side of the road and I'll take pictures because it's just that beautiful. But He's doing that to bless us, to show us that He loves us so much that He wants our vision to be blessed. God, who is our great, great provider, I want you to look at Psalms 23:3. Psalms 23:3. And I want to read this out of both the King James and the NLT. The King James says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He renews my strength, and He does that. You know, like I said, energy drinks and all these pills you're popping. You know, just get some sleep, give it to God, and tell Him, give me the strength that I need for today. He guides me along right paths. That's what He does. Bringing honor to His name. See, we glory we give him the glory and knowing that he wants us to be alive and educated in his word. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. We've seen that too, concerning especially spiritual matters, because there's stuff out there that will try and trick you. It looks like the real deal, but it's not. God gives you the vision to see that. These are the things God wants us to understand as his family. He has nothing else better to do than to talk to you. He has nothing else better to do than to give to you. He has nothing better to do than to love you. And he's shown that time and time again, every day, every day. He, God, wants to build you up and build me up. And there's more to look at. Let's go to Isaiah 41:10, please. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. A lot of God's word brings us great comfort and peace to our hearts, a peace the world could never give you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, with you. God is with you. It's not like you've got to go to a special place to get God. He's with you everywhere you go. You just have to wake up and realize that and thank him for that. Be not dismayed. Okay? Don't be discouraged. For I am thy God. I am your God. Okay? God really doesn't have to say these things, but he does, because he wants us to have the peace from above. See? I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help you. Plain English. God says, I will help you. What is it that you need help with? Yea, I will uphold you. God's good with that. With the right hand of my righteousness. It's not just a regular hand. It's God's hand of righteousness that upholds us. The King James says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. We want to take advantage of the times that we have while we're here waiting for Jesus Christ's return. Some more of God's wonderful promises. Go to Psalms 33:11, please. Psalms 33:11. How many of us need counseling? I do. And I'm not talking about in high school when you've done something wrong. Counseling in life, period. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. God's not going to run short of wisdom or the knowledge we need. He says it standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Again, that includes this generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he, God, has chosen for his own inheritance. I'm not here to point the finger at other places on this earth, but it's not hard to see why a lot of places are having all these problems, because they're believing in the wrong God. They're worshiping idols and engraven images, if you will. And it's not a new thing. It's been going on since the beginning of time. See? And that's why God says, blessed is the nation. What joy for that nation whose God is the Lord. See? And I am so thankful, and I hope you guys are, that I live here in the United States. Not in Timbuktu, the United States. Now go to Psalms, one chapter back, 32:8. Psalms 32:8. More of the peace God gives us. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway. Here we go, guiding us where to go, which road to take, but the best pathway, okay, for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. How much more comforting can that be? You know, yeah, George, if you were going somewhere and you need an extra hand, and I came and said, hey, I got your back, I'm sure that would bless you. It would bless me if you said that to me. But the Almighty Creator says, I will watch over you. So yes, I'm going to have your back, but you know who's got both of our backs? God. Plain and simple, God. And that's a great comfort and peace in our hearts that we can enjoy every day. He helps us when we're hurting. How many of you have ever been hurting before? All of us. All of us. I don't need to know what about, but you've gone through hurt in your lives. How do we know that he helps us when we're hurting? We go to his word. That's a good starting place. Go to his word. Look at Psalms 34:17. Psalms 34, and we're going to start in verse 17. It says, the Lord hears his people. Right off the bat. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. For help. He's not mincing the words here. He rescues them from all their troubles. There's nothing that's too hard for God. There's nothing that you can look up at him and say, Father, I don't know if this is in your wheelhouse. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yes, it is. You know? Verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. There it is. You've been hurting? The Lord's close to the brokenhearted. Okay? He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Whose spirits are crushed. Not the spirit he gives us, but the thing that we... that make us who we are, our spirit. The righteous person faces many troubles. Yep, that's true. But, there's that three-letter word, but, the Lord comes to rescue each time. Each time. Okay? There's things that your insurance policies don't cover. I learned that, and it was a sad, sad travesty that a lot of people in these fires up north of us that have been experiencing, their insurance won't cover them for the fire. They canceled their insurance prior to the fire season. See? What is that? What is that? You know, this is man not helping man. Okay? Not God. No. He comes to the rescue each time. Verse 20, for the Lord protects the bones of the righteous, and not one of them is broken. So how about that for some great comfort? Let's close with a verse of Scripture as we continue with our new life in Christ. And for this, let's all go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I'll be reading this out of the NLT also, okay? And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you. Within you is starting from the Holy Spirit out. You get cut, God made our bodies able to heal themselves physically. But right here he says, began the good work within you. Okay? Will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I think that's a good way to close this. And so, God's not done with you. He's not done with me. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You think you do. I mean, yeah, I'm going to go to work, but something else could happen. Something miraculous could happen to me. I'm ready. I'm ready, because I know you're not done. God blesses us as we search the Scriptures and grow up in Christ. Amen? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for having these wonderful promises and truths to look in your word, especially after brushing up a little bit with the New Life in Christ series that we're doing for the saints and those who want to be a part of it, to give us some foundational stuff to look at and to help us really look at the word with great accuracy, great concern, and love. And why? So that we can see what you really want for us, what the plans are for each of our lives. And now you never leave us, and you rescue us of all our troubles. And above that, you bless us with such goodness because you are such a good, good God. So I thank you for each person in this room here tonight, Father, that you will continue to help them grow up into Christ, to bless them so that we can bless others. And I just thank you for your word living mightily in our lives, in Jesus Christ's name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.